It's the Healers from the Trap podcast, where a trapped soul has got to go. So let's start breaking barriers and have that conversation. Hey, Nico.
Hello.
Yes, it's perfect.
Awesome.
So excited to have both of us so much light on the phone. Today, we're going to be talking on this episode about just our own paths in general, but also the whole identity when it comes to identify with one way or another, or just identities as healers or as people of color in general. So I am Dumavy. I am one half of the Light Sisters. We are international spiritual healers, and I specifically focus on ancestral and past life healing. And we have Nico on the line with us.
Hey.
Hey, so we're going to just start with some introductions. Why don't you tell them a little bit about you? Because I don't think the podcast has heard Nico yet.
Okay, great. Yeah, my name is Nico DeCumos, and I have a business called Free For Real Kitchen. And so what I do is look at ancestral foods and food as medicine and how I craft my food as, you know, healing for people and primarily for myself. This is how I started out, because I've struggled with chronic illness since I was a teenager. And so actually, you know, just this morning I was and this kind of realization came to me of what a gift that illness has been for me, because it has made me willing to try anything to get better. And part of that has been how I eat. And so healing myself through food and other traditional healing methods and holistic medicine has been part of my path and what I'm really passionate about for other people.
Wow, that's so beautiful. And what does your eating now kind of look like?
Well, you know, just like anyone, it can go back and forth, you know, because the way that the food ways are set up right now is just so unhealthy. But at this exact moment, I'm really focusing on plant-based foods, because it's what's feeling really healing for my body. So for instance, this morning I had a smoothie that had cactus, which is one of the foods indigenous to, you know, one of my peoples, along with greens, and you know, kind of like made that into something that really makes my body feel good right now.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you talk about right now, because that relationship with food is ever changing, always evolving. And I know with me, it's always like one way or another. And sometimes it's just based on where I am geographically. Other times it's just how I'm feeling. Because I used to have the mentality of, okay, so I am all plant-based right now, so I can never, ever, ever dive into anything not plant-based. Or I am completely protein, so I can never eat a carb right now. But then I've realized, like, those extremes and sticking to those extremes aren't always the healthiest. And for me, it's more like a balance. And some weeks I'm all plant-based. Other weeks I am a carnivore.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. I think it's about being able to listen to your body and really, I don't know, just treating your body in a loving manner, because our bodies know what we need and they will tell us, but sometimes, you know, we're not able to hear the message.
That is so real. And I think that is a big reason why, at least for me, meditation has been so important. The whole quieting my mind to be able to listen to my body.
Yeah, for real. I think for me, it's really probably only been in the last 5 years, which, you know, in the span of like how long I've been struggling with illness is just a small blip, you know. But only in that this recent time have I really gotten to the point where sometimes, you know, just being able to even pay attention to, like, right after a half hour after you eat something, like, what does your body think of that? You know, that can be really hard. even to figure out sometimes, you know.
Oh my goodness, yes. So, with this journey of food and spirituality, how does that link for you? Where?
Yeah, I think it's come hand in hand, really. You know, like I'm saying, I'd say, you know, the kind of speeding up of like my spiritual like journey, or even just like ability to connect with spirit, has come with my willingness to make a lot of different changes to for self-care and self-love. And that probably only came about also because I was willing to really look at the things I was struggling with, like depression, and just kind of working on how am I aware of what my emotions are and move through them instead of running from them and feeling numb, which is actually how I see depression. It's sort of like a numbness where you're trying to avoid those feelings. And it was such a breakthrough to start meditating and realize that, oh, feelings actually are these things that pass. And I had one teacher who, you know, said scientifically emotions pass in within 90 seconds. So all you have to do is just let them pass through your body, you know. That just blew my mind and has changed my life.
I have not thought of it that way before. That is beautiful, because when you think about it, yeah. And that's a big reason why they say just to take some deep breaths so you don't have to react immediately. Just like think about it, because usually within a minute or two, you kind of change and you're better able to see what you want to say in response, or even if you want to react in any way at all. Whoa, my mind is blown right now.
Yeah, I mean, that, like, seriously, that was, I went to a 1-week meditation retreat, and I had many, that was about 2 years ago, and I had many breakthroughs like that, of just simple things that the teachers were saying, that really helped me to understand, that suffering doesn't have to be this endless experience, you know? And that's really allowed me to then, you know, like, focus on these other aspects of my life that I really want to focus on, like my eating, my food business, my spiritual practice, because I'm not spending all of my energy trying to avoid dealing with my feelings.
And that point of that suffering, it does not need to be never ending. That's, I think, something, at least speaking from an ancestral point, people of color, we have that really ingrained in us, that we feel that suffering is a consistent thing, that we cannot even have success without suffering, or we cannot, that we must have suffering as a story of what motivates us or what has to push us to do something else. It's one of those things that I feel like, as people of color, we oftentimes put like suffering and survival into one, and we feel that if you're trying to survive, that you cannot dream at the same time.
Yeah, or even just, that is such a good point. And I think that so much of it too is like, you know, these stories that have been ingrained into us of us not being worthy, not being human, you know, not being good enough in all these ways. And so we deserve to suffer. Yeah, that is like one of the biggest lies that really holds all of us back, right? Like, there's so much work we're having to do to counteract that and move forward. But, you know, I also want to say at the same time, like, we all wouldn't be here right now if our ancestors and the people around us weren't still moving forward despite all of that. Like, we're still capable of resisting and growing, even with these, like, really toxic ideas. So that just speaks to how amazing we all are, you know?
Exactly. We can definitely transcend, and it's a healing journey. And it's, I think the biggest thing, at least for my journey, was recognizing that, like, I really had to recognize that I did not know how to live my life without suffering. And this literally, this whole shift happened. And being really honest, I would say 3 years ago, even though it's something like I thought about and I kind of knew, it didn't slap me in the face until about 3 years ago. And I always think about 3 years ago was when I really became grounded in what I call my ancestral healing journey. Like I tried and I tried and I was doing it. But I do believe that we can half do things for like until we're faced with the with something or unless until our mind changes to the point where we don't have a plan B, then we focus fully on plan A. So I, when it came to ancestral healing, was like half in it, half out of it for years. And I don't think I really was like 100% in it until about 3 years ago when there was no other plan B for me. And when I slapped my face I slapped myself in the face with that was when I realized that I did not know how to live my life without suffering. And that I had to really work on reprogramming my mind out of the suffering mentality to create more of a mindset of abundance, of like infinite opportunity of all of that. And I realized a lot of that was due to, you know, my ancestry, just being a African woman, you're culturally we're looked less than. We've been looked as less than the man for a very long time. And then you take yourself in a very European society. And I was like, I studied engineering. So I was always like that one Black woman in engineering, that one, I was always below in a lot of people's eyes. And I was always having to like, I felt like fighting against the grain that part of me was felt like I was overly suffering for so many different reasons. And that came beyond just my education. That came on so many different barriers that we put on ourselves and others put on us as well. And I really had to honestly switch how I identified myself, to be honest. And I am strongly 100%, you know, a Black woman, but I had to stop looking at myself like that for a minute because I had boxed myself into what I thought was either the success, the struggle, whatever, of a Black woman. And I had to just be. I had to almost like grow into being into it. Being able to identify or re-identify myself as X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, that's powerful. Wow. I think it makes me think about how, you know, a lot of people, when they're faced with wanting to talk about race, you know, they say, well, I'm just human and I just see everyone as human. And like what I hear you saying is that like you've had to kind of live your life with people looking at you and treating you as if you're not fully human, because that's kind of that's what racism does. Right. And so for you to reclaim that, you know, and say, well, yeah, I'm human and I'm going to treat myself as if I am, you know, that's so powerful and something that I think when people say that they don't realize that not everybody is starting from a standpoint of like feeling fully human or being treated as fully human. And that, you know, it's just kind of a shame that I just feel like right now where we're at is that us individual people, individual people of color or in small groups in small communities, we have to create that for ourselves, right?
Right.
But there's nothing like in the wider society that is, you know, sort of operating in that way that would allow us to, I don't even know, you know, like live a fully human existence on this planet. So that really resonates for me, what you're saying.
It felt really good to say this out loud because I really couldn't at a point. It was weird for, I felt weird and other people looked at me in interesting ways when it was just like, right now I don't want to identify as anything. And it's not because of any hatred or resentment towards it. It's because I need to heal and I have to really learn to truly love myself. And I want to truly fall in love myself with myself And I have to break myself of some of these barriers I put because of different labels. So I literally went through a point where I didn't identify myself with any specific race, gender, sexual orientation, nothing. I had to clear through everything and say, what do I really feel or not feel? Instead of what did everybody tell me that I am or am not?
Yeah, for real. Especially, you know, like we've talked about before, that, you know, these identities were imposed upon us before, you know, European colonization and slavery. Did not identify as a race.
Exactly. You know?
Like, if you, it's one thing that's interesting to me is that for a lot of Indigenous peoples, like, the name that we call ourselves is just the word for people in our language. You know, it's not, we're not identifying as some separate race. We're just identifying as people. So, you know, it's very ironic that we're forced to take these labels that were imposed upon us and identify with them so closely, when they don't always serve us. For me, like, it's in terms of gender, like, gender does not serve me at all. Like, I don't have any sense that any sort of, like, European words for gender make any sense to me for the being that I am. And in a way, I'll use certain words, but they're just sort of like a placeholder that don't even feel real. And I'm still kind of trying to figure out if there, you know, if there is like traditional words come from, you know, my lineages or not. And, you know, it's impossible to find that out anyway because of the, you know, bringing in these European ideas, any of those other types of genders or ideas of gender, you know, were destroyed.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, it's complicated, of course, right? Like you were saying earlier, like, you identify as a Black woman, I identify as a trans man, because it's important that I do that in this reality. But ultimately, you know, the teachings that come, you know, the ancient teachings that we're all one, we're all interrelated, those are true. But how do you kind of, like, engage those ideas without bypassing the reality of the suffering that many of us experience just because of our race or gender or whatever.
You said that very beautifully. Wow.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm really I feel like it's kind of a question that feels unanswered for me. Maybe for other people, I think because it's the growth point that we're at, you know, how do we transcend in a way that doesn't leave anybody behind?
Right. I feel like it's a great question for the listeners, and we would love to hear what you all think about this. So you can comment, share, or just like even email us at healersfromthetrap@gmail.com or healersofcolormovement@gmail.com. That would be a great conversation to continue. And I really would love to hear other people's journeys, their perspective, because you and I are really talking and we're relating so deeply on this beautiful level, but we know that it's not just the two of us that have gone through this journey or are going through this journey.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I said, like, it's kind of like an up in the air question for me as well. So I would love to hear people's thoughts.
Yeah,
it would be amazing. And I'm really looking forward. I hope these are the types of conversations that we can have during the Healers of Color gathering.
Exactly.
At the end of August.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited because we definitely will talk about this stuff and then dig in so deep into the ancestry, because both of us talked about our ancestry and how that related to our redefinition of identities. And coming from my Nigerian ancestry. And then, Liko, you have both a Mexican and a Filipino ancestry.
Yes.
Yes, to see how one similar and how different, again, we are. Because, so when you talked about the traditional words for even just the race or for the gender, whatever it is, I really thought back to just the discussion I was having with my mother. And it was my brother, because I speak my native language and understand, but my siblings don't. And my brother, particularly, especially since going off to college, he has really started trying to learn more about his heritage and try to learn the language. Now, one thing is our language is not written, so it makes it kind of difficult, especially nowadays, to learn when we're not as, like, we don't listen as well nowadays, and we don't pass on through word of mouth like we used to back in the days, like before we were born type of thing. But my brother was really trying to break down. He said, well, how do you say like a white person, or how do you say an Asian person? How do you say all these different races of people? And my mom was just kind of like, well, and she kind of dug into how we don't really have words for that, that we created words through colonization and different things. Like, for instance, the English, we're colonized by the English. So what we call English, just what we say for the word English, is what we call English people, or anybody who's white, we call them just English, because there's no, we traditionally did not look at people because of their race like that. It was like, well, their language is English, that's what they speak, so we say English. Now, anybody who kind of looks like them, I guess they're English. So it kind of was ended up being a good discussion about looking at things from our own tradition culture, and knowing that we did not really impose those type of identities on people, that we were then forced, or like we had to create terms for people based on what they looked like once we were heavily colonized.
Yeah, that's amazing to, it's just such a good illustration of that. There were just, yeah, those things, those concepts just didn't even exist.
No, it didn't. And it made me really start asking more questions and just even trying to dig in and think. So I do ancestral work in past life. So sometimes when I get into stuff, I'll go into my mode, set my space, and really go back into time to dig into what I can see, what I can kind of feel up. And I was kind of trying to work with that a little bit with my ancestry, but it gets tricky, especially because I'm so emotionally connected that I'm not able, like, it's almost like I feel blocked, or I'm blocking myself because of other healing that I need to do to be able to really dive into it. But I do know from the little that I was able to gather, that it seemed like, I don't even know how to explain it, a true confusion when it came to identity that happened when we were really invaded by the English. And it came to a point where everybody looked at themselves differently. But we think about it too nowadays, the standard of beauty that we have, it's not something that just came one day and happened. It's definitely over time. It's something that was ingrained in us and our ancestors from a very long time, that this is what beautiful is, this is what not beautiful is, type of thing. And it was almost like, just especially the women being looked at more as objects and then looked at as just less beautiful as well. That kind of whole thing happened. And I think maybe that was affecting me the most at my life at that point when I was digging into it. The whole perception of what I look like, and the whole perception of what is beautiful, what is unbeautiful, or what an African woman is supposed to look like.
That is so powerful. And it's so funny because I've been thinking about exactly the same thing just yesterday and today. So I'm having like this emotional reaction to what you're saying of almost like the grief of those moments, where people had to Well, it was also survival, right? Like, not only were we being told that we were this certain way, like, in order to survive, we had to accept those ideas. And, we were forced to even say those things, until we internalized them. And I was really, because I've been thinking the last couple days, I was kind of like, oh, like my most recent ancestors, I wonder like if part of me not being able to access, the times before we were kind of fully under colonization, because I feel a similar, like I feel almost like blocked to access those older ancestors. If it's almost like a fear that they carry because they're trying to protect us. They were trying to survive and protect their descendants. Yeah, it's super deep.
It is so deep. That is, wow. And when you bring that up, it really, that whole aspect of survival and needing to protect the family, all that stuff is very real. And we can see it in even how we relate to family as people of color. It really is like, for most of us, almost like a do or die type of thing. And like, even just digging in, let's even just look at modern day just slavery. And when I say slavery, it's not just slavery of the African Americans, it's slavery of all of us, like the Mexicans, the Japanese, all of us, kind of what we face at different times here. It seemed like a lot of times there was a standard of what was acceptable. There was almost like, out of every tribe, there might have been one person that was more acceptable to the leaders at the point. And when we say leaders, it could be those who colonized, whatever we want to view that as. Where there's someone that kind of looked apart, almost like there's that one spokesperson for the people. And I know I'm kind of going off here, but I just clicked in my head. It really relates to that idea we have as people of color that only one person can be successful, or only one person can ever achieve this level of this, or only one person can have contact with the bigger or the more famous, more wealthy, whatever that is. That concept, because I think about it in my culture, that whole being looking more European was very much idolized. So if you looked like, I don't look European, I'm very dark and very not European looking. So we were put at the bottom, and then those who were lighter, more European looking, were put at the top. So they were the ones that everyone wanted to be with, or you wanted to try to have them see if they can, get your family in good ways, or they could get better jobs to be able to feed the family, et cetera. Because for outside in, those were who were better, those were who could lead up. They would be the one person that could maybe lead or set the family, whatever that is, type of thing. And we kind of have that mentality today as people of color, where we feel like we must compete with one another. We feel like some people have to be less than above, and they could really only be like one person that can be great or can do anything. So we must all compete to be that one person.
Yeah, that's real. And, it's just in general, this culture and society, it's like this dog eat dog thing. And then, we translate it to our own communities amongst each other. And it's, yeah, that's really hard. And it's really hard to like even conceive of like how do you move forward cooperatively and collectively in ways that are, which is really the way that we used to, interact with each
For
other,
sure.
so, and I think that even us, like, this healers of color movement, like coming together, those, that's what we're trying to look at, I think. How do we stop having to like operate in isolation, especially, I mean, we could get, this is a whole other thing, getting into like online entrepreneurship and all these new ways that spirituality is really exploding because people are, you know, on a wide scale, everyone realizes that we need these, we need to connect with the spiritual realm. We need to recognize that non-material reality exists. Like we're in like a kind of like a revolution point with that.
For sure.
But then we have capitalism telling us, well, take that and try to make a lot of money off of it. And so I feel that a lot in the realm of like, you know, Instagram and everybody like trying to, you know, like make these businesses with spirituality, which nothing wrong with that, but it's in this context where everybody's competing with each other.
Yeah.
You know, like, why do we need to compete? Like, we all have our individual communities, and everybody needs these services in their lives. There's, you know, more than enough people that want and are reaching out for healing and for knowledge. There's no need to compete. We should just support each other.
Say that again. And with supporting each other, what we have to also realize with that is that it's not about just taking. It must be an equal exchange of like giving and receiving. And I think that's how some healers, and I know in the past, me as a healer, I've done the same thing where I was giving way too much and not able to receive. And to be able to work as healers is one, we don't compete with one another. We just help and we grow. Because as healers, you are being healed more than anything. We are more students than we are teachers, always. That's just how it is. And there's this divide when it comes to spirituality, because I think some people may not always like have the same mindset, I can put it that way, in it. Other people truly mean the best. But there has to be a means to survival as well. So I know the question of like a lot of people saying, oh, you can't charge if you're doing spiritual work, or you can't make money if you're doing spiritual work. I think that's a very deep ancestral thing that especially we as people of color carry when it comes to being able to practice and do spiritual work and stuff, and also being able to like live and to have, you know, a means to an end, to be able to get paid for the service that we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel that maybe we have to make a whole nother episode just on that, because that touches very deep. That touches very, very, very deep. And I know for sure, I have now come to a place where, again, through my own experiences, I've realized it's so real to make sure to exchange proper energy when it comes to things. Just like, as much as I love apples, I have to either grow an apple in my backyard and get that, or I need to go to the store and buy an apple because somebody else did the process for that. I get that type of thing. So I know for sure I've been very cautious when I work with other healers, other people in general, whatever you do, to know that if you are giving me something, I must make sure to exchange somehow. So a lot of the whole exchange of services happens, or if I'm having a service from somebody, I do understand and I love the fact that you did that for me, so I will give you monetary compensation or whatever it is that needs to be discussed. Sometimes it's like you're staying at my house for the week or whatever, you know?
Yeah, and I think that once you start operating like that, then you are free to kind of get more creative about how you think about the exchange. Like, there's plenty of services or material things that we need that you can exchange that don't have to be money.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you need money in this reality at this moment. Even if we're working to do something beyond it in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of people, you know, I really respect too, I know that a lot of indigenous folks will say that if, you know, if people are charging money, then it's not real. And I think within the context of those communities where there is still the recognition of healers and medicine people as important members of the community who are taken care of for their work, that it makes sense in that context. in other contexts, especially for those of us who haven't been raised in traditional communities where there isn't that support and sort of network to do your work, then we are left with no other choice but to exchange money or like other goods and services, especially when, you know, it can be really hard. Because for me, I know that a lot of the kind of like ill, you know, there's sometimes if you are experiencing a lot of hardship and a lot of illness and things not going your way, it's because your ancestors and your guides are pushing you to really get on your path as a healer. And that's been like the last few years of my life, was finally being like, okay, I know, I just got to jump. Just stop, you know, thinking there's this idea of being comfortable or stable in this system. It just doesn't exist.
Right.
And so I got to just do what I know is my life calling.
Exactly.
Have faith that it will sustain me.
Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah, I kind of went off on another thing, because what I wanted to say was I think that this idea of a fair energy exchange goes back to what we were talking about earlier about really detaching from like society's messages of what makes us worthy or not. Because when you don't value yourself, you're willing to just take anything, you know, rather than thinking, you know, like, what is really the value of this time that I'm putting in, and why shouldn't I respect myself and my abilities by asking for a fair price or asking for a fair exchange.
Exactly. I am 100% with you. It's such a process and a journey, because to this day, it's something that I know that I struggle with. And then Tierra, who's the other half of the Light Sisters, we both struggle in different points with that, because there is that balance of like genuinely giving out and just wanting to give, but yo, you really can get physically so ill from just giving like that. And then that part of us, the blockages we have, like, we can't do this, or we can only do a certain amount of this or that. We can only receive a certain amount of this. We had to really break a lot of those barriers, that mindset that we carry. And other people on the outside had to push us in different ways to tell us, like, you aren't really thinking about what is best for you, you know. And it's not all about what's best for you, but like, if your health is going down and you're doing all this extra stuff, you cannot heal people. Because you can only meet yourself as deeply, or meet other people as deeply as you've met yourself. So you're sitting here and you're exhausting yourself, putting all this energy into other people, and you yourself, you're just like going and treading backwards, making your work less and less value, making you like you can transfer things to other people. You have to be very careful of your space, and then very careful of how you set your own boundaries. I know for sure, especially when past life readings or past life work is started diving into more, I realized at one point I was just overextending myself to other people. It made me sick. So I had to learn, where is my boundary? And I realized, like, when I do past life stuff, I can only do max like two different energies a day when it comes to past life. And then over time, it's evolved differently as I do more ancestral work, or how, because past life and ancestral work, it can be very similar and very different. You know, we can go into that whole different episode. But I realized, like, it can't be something I do every day, and it's not something I do every season, that it's more seasonal for me, and I have to be okay with that. On the other end, like, this is the type of heat, and being very transparent, the heat is like, well, why don't you do this thing? Like, I want this now. It says you do this. And like, you get heat from other people. And it's just like, I realize there's no reason for me to explain this to you. I'm choosing this because this is best for me, in order to serve myself more than anything to the best, and to serve others to the best of my abilities. I must put my own boundaries up, and I must do this at this point, or do it in the way that I know works best for the whole, and the whole includes myself. And it's so interesting. It's like you get deeper into work, you get more specialized in some how negative people can get around because of their own needs or their own wants and not respecting what you need or what your everything is. Because we all have gifts, we all have powers. That doesn't mean we're supposed to use or be in that mode 24/7. Just because I can see past lives, I can heal into past lives, I can do ancestral work, doesn't mean I need to do that 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
That is how, and I think a lot of us carry that, how some of us in the past, and I know some of my ancestors have physically passed because of their overexertion of their own gifts and abilities to others.
Wow.
We can't do that to people. We can't do that to each other. And I think that's a big reason where I'm just like, for everything that goes into what we do, and if anybody has ever had like deep work with us over the 10-month period when we have like our long-term programs, our programs and value are not cheap. Not because we just want to charge out the butt, but for everything we do, it takes so much time, so much energy, and we work with so many other people in order to give you the most complete picture that, hey, we have to actually pay, that those prices have to go up to actually like be able to satisfy what needs to be done. But mm-hmm. in the same end, we also do so many like free things, even to our social media posts. We put so much energy and we don't ask for a dime. We never do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things, like, I'm just going in because it's so deep for me, this whole thing. It's been so deep, and it's been an interesting balance how as much as you give, you can never give enough. You realize that as much as you evolve, as much as you grow, it's never enough for other people. And the most heat that I've realized that I face for all of this spiritual work and everything is actually from people of color. And I think that's sometimes something we don't always want to admit within ourselves, or we don't always want to acknowledge, that maybe there's something really deep within our whole ancestries, all of our work, something deep within us as a community that's tearing us apart so much, that we're giving each other so much heat for what we should just like come together for.
Yeah. So powerful. Have you heard of the work of Joy Degree?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So like, you know, the things you're saying, like, I love how she talks about that stuff of like how hard people can be on each other because of the legacy of slavery.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't come, it's not like you're saying, like, people of color are hard on you. It's not because like we're inherently more messed up or meaner. It's because of what we've had to experience generationally, and that being the way that we saw to survive.
Exactly.
So yeah. Thanks for sharing all of that. It's really powerful.
No, you're so welcome. Thank you for sharing all of this. This has been a beautiful and loving episode, and I feel like we're both gonna listen to both these episodes or this episode and just be like, so we need to do a whole nother thing on that and this, and then like Joy, everybody, like, we want to talk and have so many people featured on here. We want to talk more in depth, because the main thing with this movement is that we realize the time for us to heal is now. Each of us as organizers have so much more healing to do, and are continually working on all the healing that we need to get done. And we realize as a community, there's so much healing we can do as a community, because in order to move forward in greatness and love and in light, we must realize that we need to come together as people to help one another. And I think that's a big thing and a big reason us as a team, we came together. We came together all doing healing on our own or in our, whatever our small groups were. And then we exchanged services at some point, and we realized how it was so much beautiful to grow, how it was just so impactful, and how we moved forward positively by us having one another to support. And then we all came together, and it's beautiful, because anytime we meet, the few times a week that we do meet, it's amazing the magic and revelation that happens when all of us come together with our ancestries, with our healing modalities, with all the love that we have, that we're actually able to transcend so much more. And as the HOC team, as the movement happens, we want to continue to grow in light, and we hope that others continue to join, and we as people can come and really take our own powers back in love and continue to heal ourselves, heal our ancestries, and create a better future, because y'all, there's so much darkness, but there's just as much light. And it's really about tapping into that light and moving forward in the light.
Yes. I'm so excited to keep working with you all. I'm so excited for anybody that's listening and feels called to join us, to either come to the event in August, come to future events, you know, visit the website to get more idea of what we're doing, healersofcolormovement.com. Come check us out and get in touch with us and join us.
Yes, for sure. And then individually, you can follow Nico at Free For Real Kitchen. It is Free, the number 4 Real Kitchen at Instagram. And then at Light Sisters, it's Light Sisters with a Z at the end, Instagram for myself. We are going to be coming to you again with a different episode featuring so many other great people. HOC team, thanks you for listening. Thank you so much, Nico. We'll talk to y'all
soon.
Thank
you. All right. Thank you.
The Healers from the Trap podcast is brought to you by the organizers of the Healers of Color Movement. Join us in the conversation and in upcoming events. Check us out at www.healersofcolormovement.com. See you next time.